This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 64.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. If you listen to the Soulful PR podcast, there's a good chance that writing is a big part of what you do in your day-to-day work. So it might be writing social media updates, email marketing copy, or copy for magazines and newspapers. So what I wanted to do was share some of the tips that I've picked up during my 15 years as a writer and editor for national newspapers and magazines that will help you write more quickly, more stylishly, and more effectively. But before I get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to share something that I'm really excited about. It feels like I'm always really excited about something, but this is exciting. So thank you for those who voted for me for the New Media Europe Awards. I am in the running. I'm in the final 10 for the best UK podcast of 2016. Now, I can't tell you how excited I am about that because some of you, if you're in my Facebook community or you're on my email list, you might have heard me talking about this before. But I went to New Media Europe in Manchester in the UK last year, and that was where the UK Podcasting Awards were held. And I sat in the room and watched all the other winners go up to collect their awards, some of which by then I knew. And I just thought to myself, what am I doing? I've been wanting to start a podcast for years. I've been thinking about it. I've been talking about it. And look at all these people who've done it. And what's more, I thought to myself, I want to be in the running for these awards next year. And I made a decision right then that I was going to be starting my own podcast. And I did it pretty much within 30 days. And that I was going to be in the running for those awards the following year. I also made a commitment then I was going to be speaking at the event, and I am speaking at the event on June the 18th and 19th. So it just goes to show that when you put your mind to something, when you commit to something, you can really make it happen. And often I think sometimes we don't appreciate those things, that those goals that we set ourselves, that we work towards and we actually achieve, we're so busy moving on to the next thing that sometimes I think we don't acknowledge that. So I would absolutely love your support with this. So the first round, to get through to the round I'm in at the moment, I basically had to get as many people as possible to vote for me via Facebook, and that was great. I think I was third or fourth in the running in the end out of quite a long list of people who put themselves forward. But the next round of voting is on Twitter, and this is making it a little bit harder because not everybody is on Twitter or using Twitter regularly. And the URL I need to give you is a little bit long, so I'm going to share it in the show notes, but it's, or maybe I will give it to you now. It's newmediaeurope.com/2016/NMEU-awards-2016-stage-2. So I will put that in the show notes because I'm pretty sure that none of you will be able to remember that. But I would so, so appreciate it. All you need to do, it's a click to tweet. So if you just scroll down on that page, find the Soulful PR podcast, which is in the best UK podcasts of, I should say 2016. My husband's always telling me off for saying 2016. 2016. Then you'll find the Soulful PR podcast there. And if you could please cast your vote on Twitter, you can actually vote every day until June the 10th. So you can vote for me more than once. And I would just so, so appreciate it. I'm up there in the awards with people who've had podcasts for years, who've already got a massive following. Mine's only been going, I think, since November last year. So mine's very new in comparison. So I'm very proud to have got where I am. But obviously, I would love to win it. So if you could cast your vote, I would really, really appreciate that. And I will give you the link in the show notes. So now on with the main part of the show. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing three writing hacks that will help you to produce stylish copy and do it quickly. And the reason I wanted to cover this topic is because of something that happens a lot with my coaching students. So they'll be working really, really hard on a pitch for a journalist. They might be trying to get in the Daily Mail, the Huffington Post, maybe a women's magazine or something like that. And then they will get that email from an editor which says, yes, I really like this. I'd like you to do it. Please write me 800 words and I want it by 5 o'clock or whatever it might be. And this can send some people into a panic and all the insecurities about their writing come out. They say, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to write. I'm not a very good writer. So these are some of the things that I often share with people when I'm helping them to put these pieces together. And they come from my experience. I mean, it's funny really, because when I think about what I do, obviously I help people to get PR for their businesses or brands. But when I think about what I really am, I think I'm a writer. If somebody says to me, what do you do? I'm a writer, because I've been writing and editing for national newspapers and magazines for 15 years now, probably more than that. And so this is the kind of thing I've just been doing in my sleep for years. And it wasn't really until I started to coach people in PR that I started to really break down, well, what is it that I do to produce this writing quickly? What are the hacks that you can use to just kind of get it down on the page and get it organized and get it sounding good? And I also just wanted to reassure you before I get into the tips about your writing. If you're somebody who has got some insecurities about your writing, then in my opinion, you're probably a much better writer than you think. It's often the people who think their writing is really brilliant and they can see no wrong in it. And I tell you this first-hand experience from my work as an editor. They're often the people whose writing needs work. But the people who come and say, oh, I don't know if it's quite ready, if I just had a little bit more time, they're often much better writers. So if you do have some hang-ups, just a little tip there. And also just to reassure you that some of the big name writers, some of the people that you would open a newspaper or a Sunday supplement and look at their work and think, wow, they often have great editors behind them. That's not to say that they're not great writers, but they often need an editor to polish that and to pull them up on bits that don't make sense and to raise queries and to think about, you know, what the reader might not understand. And they often need to work in partnership with a really good editor to create that copy. So just some reassurance really before I go into my tips. And these are tips that you can apply to any writing. So it's not just if you're writing something for a newspaper or magazine. You can transfer this to your email marketing, to your social media, to any sales copy that you write. And I would really urge you to do that. I use most of the techniques that I would use in writing an article for a newspaper in my email marketing, for example. I use, when I'm writing a Facebook post, I will often use the same kind of strategies as I would use if I was writing something for a newspaper. So this stuff is all transferable. And once it clicks, it really clicks, and you'll find that you're writing much better copy all round. So the three things that you should do right now, things that you can do today or this week to improve your writing. So the first thing would be to just ditch introductions. So whenever I'm writing, editing a piece of copy, and often when I'm working with coaching students and they send me a draft of something, I often find myself saying, get rid of the first paragraph, or you can start in the third paragraph, you can start in the second paragraph, because I think we all have this tendency that we feel the need, and people do it in pitching as well, actually, to journalists, we feel the need to fill in the background and to give people a paragraph or two of background and context. So, for example, if somebody is writing something about the EU referendum, writing an opinion article, then which is taking place next month, which is why I'm mentioning it, I'm recording this in June 2016. And so that's why I'm mentioning it if you're listening in the future. And you'd often find if somebody was writing an opinion article on something to do with that, that they would spend the first paragraph kind of explaining what it is. And by that point, I think people are kind of bored because they probably know what it is anyway and when it's happening. And you spend the first paragraph almost kind of patronizing people and giving them the background, then they're going to switch off. So what I would really advise you to do is get straight into the action. Now, there's different ways that you can do it, but the most common ways you can do it is start with a story. I often, when I'm giving feedback to writers or students that I'm working with, if I had a penny for every time that I've said to somebody, can you start with a story, or can you start with some people or some dialogue or something? This is often the best way to hook people in rather than kind of doing that background thing. So an example is a piece I wrote for The Guardian about why we need to talk more about miscarriage at work. Now, I could have started that story by talking about how frequent miscarriage is and giving some stats, but that probably would have been quite boring. So this is how I started it instead. A week after my first miscarriage, I drove 140 miles from my home in Kent to Stratford-upon-Avon for a two-day conference. Although my heart was aching, and my body too, staying at home wasn't an option. Women had miscarriages every day of the week, didn't they? I couldn't sit at home feeling sorry for myself. Over a gala dinner, I drank too much wine and poured my heart out to the woman to my right, a mother of four who listened kindly and patted my arm as I struggled to hold back tears. Later on, I dropped it into conversation with a male colleague. I've just had a miscarriage. So that is much, much more powerful, telling that story of me driving 140 miles away from my home, just having a miscarriage, embarrassing myself a little bit by telling the person next to me something really personal. But that's what you really want to do in any piece of writing. You want to get people to connect with you emotionally. And you can do that by telling a story. Another example is I wrote a piece for The Guardian again recently about how people criticize me sometimes, or I feel criticized when I say that I'm traveling with work. So other mothers will sort of say, oh, how does your daughter feel about that? Now, this is obviously for a whole other episode, but this is a great way to get PR. If you're whatever you're doing in your business, if you think that other people would have an opinion on it, that can usually be a great way to get PR for your business. But that's a whole other episode. But this is how I started this opinion article. The morning of my daughter's first school play, I had an appointment. It was a meeting with a prospective client about a contract that would potentially pay the mortgage for 3 months. I went to the play, getting a seat in the front row. I even brought my mum along in case it overran. But not wanting to be late for my appointment, I crept to the back just before the end so I could make a quick getaway. My daughter, who was 3 at the time, noticed my empty seat and started to cry. Cue commotion from the other mothers. Where had I gone? From my vantage point just outside the doorway, I heard one say loudly and disapprovingly, "She's gone to work." I watched as some of the others tutted and rolled their eyes. So again, it's a personal story. Now, this is an opinion article. So often we think when we're writing opinion articles that we have to be kind of punching people with stats and facts. But actually, telling a story can be a really great way to get people draw people into an opinion article. So that's another example. Another thing you can do is just kind of start with a statement. So I wrote another piece about why women need to stop working for free. And I started with this statement which said, this is what happens when I'm asked to speak at an event. And I just kind of had this bold statement. And then I went into dialogue. And dialogue can be another great way to open any piece of writing. It's just about drawing people in, getting them to make an emotional connection. It's totally like pitching, actually. It's like what you want people to do is to connect and say, yeah, that could have been me. Or I know how that feels like. Or my friend went through that. Or yeah, my mum told me about that. So you need to get people to almost see themselves in your story. And that's so much more powerful than doing a very boring kind of intro where you just kind of outline the issue. So just get people straight in the action, whatever way you do it. You can do it through telling a story, through using dialogue, through making a bold statement that kind of shocks people or surprises people. There's lots of different ways that you can do it. So the second tip I would give you is to use lists of three. And the rule of three, I think I was talking about it in my interview about how to do radio interviews, actually, with Kevin Field, which was a couple of episodes ago. The rule of three, it can work for anything, any kind of communication, really. But often when I'm helping students to write opinion articles or first person confessional style articles, I'll often sort of go into them and say, okay, instead of telling me how you felt, can you show me through examples? So for example, I was working with a client who'd written a piece for a national newspaper about how her husband felt when he was a stay-at-home dad and how he's kind of left out of all the kind of, you know, coffee mornings and all the kind of social events and how that made him feel. And I said to her several times, instead of telling us what's happening, show us. So give us three examples. So yeah, there was the time that he was left standing on the playground on his own when everyone else went for coffee. There was the time when one of the mums had a coffee morning at her house and said, oh, you're not going to want to come, are you? And then there was the time that he was dropped from the WhatsApp group for mums because he was going back to work. So if you can show it through examples, and lists of three work really well. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm quite musical. So I tend to see my writing as music and it's all about the rhythm to me. So when I'm reading things back, I kind of hear it. And if the rhythm doesn't feel quite right, then I have to change the words or I have to change the sentence structure. But I know that not everybody is the same. But lists of three work quite well for the rhythm. So if you can make a paragraph of examples out of lists of three. It can also be a useful way if, say, you've got like 800 words to write or 600 words to write and thinking, okay, well, my intro paragraph is probably going to be about 100 words. My outro paragraph is probably going to be about 100 words. So then in between that, maybe I need 150 or something like that. Maybe I've done my maths wrong there. 125 or something. And you can actually kind of in your head kind of plan to make three points. And I often, whatever I'm writing, even if it isn't a listicle post, so if it's an opinion article on why women shouldn't work for free, I'll have one kind of central point that I want to make. But often I'll almost be writing a listicle post without it being a listicle post. So I'll have kind of three or four points that I want to make, or often three points actually within that I want to make. And that helps me structure my article and helps me write it much more quickly because I know I've got an intro paragraph, I've got an outro paragraph, and then I've got probably three major points that I want to make in the middle, or three major sets of examples or something like that. And actually, there was some talk about this in my Soulful PR business club hangout, the Facebook group that we've got this morning. And I think for a lot of people, if you find writing difficult, just kind of writing those headers, just saying to yourself, right, okay, I need an intro that's about this long and I need to kind of do this in it. Then kind of making some bullet points that you kind of flesh out, that can work for lots of people so that you're not spending the same time writing your introduction over and over again. And I find a lot of us, and just to come back to the first point, is that we're all naturally good storytellers. So when I'm writing a storytelling intro, I can often do that quite quickly because I get quite kind of caught up in the story and the visual nature of it and the sensual nature of it. So kind of things that appeal to the sight, the touch, the smell, that kind of thing. Most of us are quite naturally good at telling stories, which is why you can often knock out a really great storytelling introduction really kind of quick. And the last point I wanted to make, a last little tip I wanted to give you, was to circle back at the end. So people often get a bit stuck when they're writing an article or they're writing a short piece of first person writing. They think, well, how do I finish it? Well, a really easy technique that you can use, it's almost like a convention that you can use to help you kind of structure your writing, is just to circle back at the end. So whatever you mentioned at the beginning, so you can almost like tease your listeners where you, at the beginning, you tell them the first part of a story, but you don't tell them what happens at the end. So for example, and I'll link to all of these in the show notes so that you can look at them. I had a piece in The Independent last week about premature babies. There'd been some new research came out about, I mean, you get one of these like every few months, how children who are born prematurely grow up to be delinquents or awful at school or involved in crime, or all these kind of like shock headlines. And my daughter was born very prematurely. So the editor of The Independent Voices, the comment section, got in touch with me and asked me to write something about it. So how I structured that was, I started off, I'll just read it to you actually, because again, it's another example of a storytelling intro. The night before my daughter was born, a neonatal doctor sat at my bedside and gave me the worst case scenario. Brain damage, cerebral palsy, vision and hearing impairment, behavioural issues, and a whole host of chronic health problems. And a low IQ, he added with a nervous laugh. She might not be top of the class at the school. So again, story, dialogue. Then what I did at the end, I went through giving my opinions on how this research isn't always particularly helpful because it isn't always backed up with help at school. So we get all these research reports that come out and say how awful it is for kids who are born prematurely and they grow up and they're not as bright as others and all this kind of stuff. And how it's kind of helpful to know that, but actually it's not helpful at the same time because then they don't really get the support at school that they actually need. And then right before the end, I come back and I circle back and I say, my daughter is 10 now, but not one of her teachers has had any knowledge on how her prematurity might have impacted on her learning. So right at the end, I then revisit what I opened with at the beginning. So at the beginning, I was talking about what happened the night before my daughter was born. I don't really say how she's fared. And then I say, you know, while I can't prove it, I'm pretty sure growing up in a stable environment with food, shelter, and plenty of love has helped my premature baby grow into a bright, happy 10-year-old. So I give the ending, if you like. So I say, well, actually, my daughter's, you know, she's growing up okay. She's quite bright. She's quite happy. She sometimes needs a bit of help with maths, but she's doing okay. So at the beginning, I kind of paint this kind of dramatic picture about all the worst scenarios I was given. And then at the end, I kind of circle back and say, well, actually, she's okay. But even so, I need to think about these things, or I think we need to think about these things. So I'll link to that in the show notes just so that you can see how it's done in action. Now, I've been doing this for years and years, and I've been editing other people's work for years and years, so it comes kind of naturally to me. So you might find that you need to practice a little bit at first and just remind yourself of this stuff. But I can knock out this kind of article in about an hour. And I know there's other people that can do it even quicker than that, but that's quite quick for me in terms of when I first started. So just to recap then, so three things that you can do to write stylish copy and to do it quickly. So the first thing is forget about introductions, get straight to the point, start with a story, start with some dialogue, start with a bold statement. The second one is to use the lists of three. So to show, not tell, through collections of three examples that illustrate your point. And the last one is to circle back at the end. So if you're thinking, I'm not really quite sure how to end my article or piece of writing, then just circle back. Don't give us all of the information at the beginning. Tell us what happened at the end. And that will really keep your readers engaged, because we all feel quite dissatisfied, I think, if we read a piece of writing and we come to the end and we don't quite know what happened to the person at the beginning. So it's quite a satisfying way to end as well. So I hope you found that useful. There's loads more I could share with you on writing tips, and will share with you actually. I've got a book idea in the offing as well, so I'd love to know your thoughts on that. But hopefully just a few things that you can put into practice and try. As ever, I'd love to hear from you. I'm on janet@janetmurray.co.uk or @jan_murray, or I'm on Instagram @janmurrayuk, and I'd just love to hear how you're getting on putting these things that I'm sharing with you into practice. It's always really, really great to hear from you. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? We're simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.